Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Sundays with Sucharita here on Sunday, June 19th, 2016. Welcome to everyone who is joining for the first time and those of you who have been joining from week to week for the past couple of years, I guess it is. It's time is flying when we're having fun, and it's even flying faster. We're already into half of another year has gone by, and it's been a fabulous year, and today we get to tune in and enjoy the energies of a vortex that is created across the world called Father's Day. And Father's Day, as we know, is a time to pay attention to the father, to maybe take the father out in an extra special way or give a gift or acknowledge the father. And if we don't have our father still alive in this world and he's gone to other planes, we can acknowledge the father through prayers or tarpanam practice, which we have talked about extensively throughout the years. And we'll talk about it again, the importance of doing tarpanam for the father who has passed on. And if we can't acknowledge the father due to maybe a strained relationship since birth maybe or somewhere along the way, then we can just internally pray and do services, participate in different services that are offered through Ply Center or Astrovet, although I'm not sure if those are still available right now. However, you know, fire labs, pujas, anything that can connect us to the Father at the soul level, to get to bypass all the emotions, to bypass the memories, to bypass the thoughts, to bypass anything that has happened in the past, during this lifetime or maybe past lives, we've had the same Father and we just haven't been able to get it right, to correct the mistakes of the past. Some of us might have great relationships with the Father. Fabulous. Enjoy it even more. And some of us might not have had a father, biologically speaking, in their life, but they had father figures or authority figures. The father represents authority figures, those who are kind of like mentors and protectors in our lives, that we can, they're the go-to guys. The father is also represented as the son. And today is Sunday, and the sun's energy is all about the authority. You know, that's why we follow the sun every 30 days. In this program, we follow the sun's energy because the sun is connected to our soul. So our soul is really what we want to feed. And so when we feed our soul, we exercise it, and we pay attention to it, then it gives us clues about what we can do from the soul level versus our karmic level, which is just carrying over thoughts of the past, in this lifetime, the past patterns, past behaviors that have worked for us or maybe haven't worked for us, and we can't really control it because other karmic factors come into place, into play. And then we have the planets there that are impacting us. Not only the sun impacts us, but the rest of the planets impact us. So as we had our Vedic astrologer Radha share with us last week, the transit of the sun into Gemini, meaning that the sun's energy moving into Gemini is going to wake up a new aspect of ourselves, and so that we can focus on it for the next 30 days. And so what does that mean? Well, we can maybe come to terms with the Father. Maybe because the sun is going into Gemini, it helps us to be in the natural third house sign, which is all about risk-taking. And so maybe we might take a risk and give him a call, even if it is a little painful or we're a little bit afraid to contact the Father. Maybe we want to do a meditation on forgiveness. Maybe we want to go and see the Father, but we can't, and we're sad about it. So just going and paying attention or contemplating on that sun, moving into that sign, that third sign, which is about courage and risk-taking, that you can have the strength and the courage and the understanding and the compassion to hold the space for something new to be there regarding the Father. Because the Father is connected to each and every one of our cells. The trillions and trillions and trillions of cells that make up our body, our spirit, our mind, our energy body, our astral body, all that has been predetermined lifetime after lifetime. So when we are tuning in and we want to fine-tune with all our meditations, with all the services, the rituals, the remedies that are offered through Plicenter Astrobed, it helps us to activate the highest or the most positive or most optimistic energies in each and every one of ourselves. So then we kick out or spin out or spit out anything that's no longer serving our highest and best that is related to the Father. We represent half of our Father's genes. That's what it is, the DNA, right? So, and then we represent the other half as the mother. And then that is halved, so a quarter is the grandfather and that lineage, and then it gets sliced down accordingly as the generations go down. So we, as Dr. Ply says, you think we are thinking our thoughts. It's really our genes are thinking. Our genes are telling us, do this, do that, this worked, this didn't work. Or I'm going to mess you up because you haven't paid attention to me in this lifetime, and maybe they're past now, and you didn't pay attention to me in this lifetime, and so now I'm going to haunt you. That's what a lot of people say. I feel haunted by the memories of those who have passed. So it's for real that these forces are impacting us on the body, mind, and soul. And especially during a vortex of energy day, or as in Father's Day today, when, and it's on a Sunday, it is saying to us, what is your soul telling you? What at the level of the soul? Not at the level of the emotions. Not at the level of the memory. Not at the level of the body. It's what is at the level of the soul. What is the highest intelligence? What is that? What is the is going to crave the hunger or the thirst, quench the thirst of the soul? So it's very scientific. Although you can add faith to it and all the rest, which is just utter positivity. I mean, Dr. Pillai's definition of faith, when you are totally, totally positive, you're totally in alignment with your highest self, your highest understanding of who you are at this point in time, not who you've been, not who you've been beforehand, not who you think you are going to be projecting into the future. It's right at this moment. If you can tap into that wealth, that well within you, that wellness within you, then you can move the mountains. When we put God first, when we put our soul's highest calling of our soul first, then the miracles happen. Miracles are supernatural happenings. They should be happening every single second. And getting down to divisions of a second. We don't need to, because we can't even contemplate a minute. We can't even focus for 1 minute on God. Although we might think we are, but when we go into a meditation, we know, oh my God, where are all these thoughts coming from that are outside of God? This is all like, mundane stuff. So when we are tapping into the energy of the Father, then we are really going in and we are saying to our genes within each and every cell, hey, whatever happened in the past, let's just let it rest like a pool of water, a very calm pool or lake or ocean. It's very calm. It's very serene. It's very peaceful. We don't need to go down deep and dig up the stuff. Or we don't need to splash the surface, swirl it around. It's just for this moment in your meditation, and maybe this the moments after during today, whether you see your Father or contact him or not, just remember that in this moment, everything can shift. And the father is not just related to the biological father. Can be, again, someone who mentored you or you looked up to. Can be a spiritual father. So if you have not yet found that connection with a spiritual guide, then, and you haven't connected to Dr. Pillai, since that's why we're all here, we're coming to understand his teachings even more and how they apply to our lives and how they better our lives. Maybe we want to get more connected to him today and see how connecting to the meditations is actually connecting to him. So, yes, there is a personal representation, and, you know, we need an image to understand, okay, this person has come to this earth plane to teach me something, and I have a physical manifestation that I can relate to. Can be a spiritual. Maybe there's people who have never met him or hardly see him at all, but they have this really incredible connection at any given moment in time. They know his presence. They feel his presence. They experience his presence. Some even talk to it and get their problems solved by it. So whatever works for you at this given moment in time, or if you need to go deeper into your understanding of who Dr. Pillai is for you at this point in time as your spiritual father, then ask for that. And it's appropriate because Guru Purnima is coming up, and that is the day of the Guru. That's on coming up July. I think it's 16th and 18th or 19th. It's going to be in San Diego. And there have been many people who have been saying, I can't believe I am actually going to Guru Purnima. I just wanted to really connect with Dr. Pillai. I heard that it's amazing when people go to see him in person, or I've been to see him in person, this is what other people say, and I haven't seen him for a while, or I continue to see him every year on Guru Purnima because it is the most important day to be sitting in the same room, to be moving around for a few days, bumping into him, meeting him at dinner or going through the hallways or whatever it is. Talking to him and just being in his presence, immersed in that for a few days, it shifts everything at the level of the body, mind, and soul, and then gives me clarity. If I get to ask him a question about my life, he gives me guidance, and so on. So that's a really powerful prayer to ask, too, if at this point you haven't been able to manifest going to Guru Purnima. There's people who shared with me in the past few weeks, I can't believe I'm going. And all of a sudden I just was saying, okay, Ganesha, who is the elephant-headed being and who we're going to meditate on because his energy is available in 2016. It's been available 2015, 2016, but really, really palpable. And you can experience his obstacle-busting energies, and then the life changes. So there's some members have been saying, I just handed it over to Ganesha. I kept doing my Ganesha practices and saying, okay, you got to remove the obstacles for me to go because I really need to be with Dr. Pillai, who is in and of himself at this point in time totally in alignment with Ganesha's energy. So when we're praying to Ganesha, we don't really understand who Ganesha is. Because it's an archetype that is beyond the body-mind, but it is also a part of, as we'll figure it out once we go through the meditation process. And he is also Dr. Pillai himself. So we have to have these images or archetypes that represent the energy to remove obstacles in the life and to kill off anything that is going to prevent us from connecting to our spiritual father or our spiritual teacher, and to get the highest teachings in every given moment when we do a meditation or a mantra practice, but also at the times of the year that are so powerful in immersing us in the presence of our own highest selves, tuning that up, cranking it up, destroying any negativity that we haven't been able to do on our own. And then it's also great you come together and you meet people from around the world, maybe through this program when people are sharing online, maybe through other programs. And then you meet in person and it's like, oh, I know you. And it's kindred spirits coming together. And you celebrate. And then you develop relationships afterwards. And then that's the biggest thing with spiritual people. They can't, are people who are, everybody's spiritual. Excuse me. The people who are on the spiritual path, and especially this spiritual path, because it's really high and fast and complex, or can be complex. There's so much going on. How do you explain that to other people in your lives, your family, your friends, and so on? And the rule of thumb is, anyone who's on the spiritual path, it's so personal. So how could you even explain it? So when you meet people who are on this path, whether it's online or in another program or in person, then you have this connection. You say, okay, now I can connect. I can socialize with them. I can, you know, ask for support, give support. So it becomes a whole other level of understanding the community that is out there. And that is, you know, readily available to reach out and get support, not just on, you know, Facebook or, you know, the social media. So it's great to go in person, see our spiritual father, spiritual guide, mentor, authority figure, who knows the soul. Anyone who sits in front of Dr. Pillai during a Guru Purnima, they say, oh my God, he talked to me. It was about me the whole time. And then you go to the next person. No, he talked to me. He said exactly what he was telling me. And so, and you go across the whole room and the 100 or 200 people who are there, you know, depending on the Guru Purnimas of the past, you know, there's hundreds of people that he is actually talking to their very soul and their very life. And how does that happen? Because he's just saying one thing, isn't he? So it's very interesting how that is a phenomenon that can be experienced by everyone, and we all kind of chuckle about it when we get out and have a break or dinner time. Didn't you think he was talking about that? Blah, blah, blah. That's exactly what I thought too. And, you know, so it takes a, you know, it's he's very entertaining as well. You know, sometimes on online programs, he's very focused. He only has a short period of time. But when he's in a lecture situation or when he's just free floating around, you know, at dinners or going places here and there, you just see him coming out of his room and walking down the hall. You can, he's very entertaining. He's very humorous and he's very helpful and very approachable. So it's, you know, most spiritual masters, they have bodyguards around them and all the rest, and you can't get near them with a 10-foot pole. So Dr. Pillai is very unique in that way, and that he wants people to come and say hello, and he will ask you things about your life that are very personal, you know, how are your kids, how, and then when he puts his attention on that, because he picks it up from you, how does he know you have kids? How does he know you have whatever you have in your life? He just knows. He can see it right to the level of the soul. And when he does that, and he says about the kids or the job or whatever it is, it's important in your life, and it's like, meet, 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 you know, it's like a big, huge sign for him, hey, talk to this person about this. Then you understand that, oh, he's connecting at the thing that is most important for me right now at this point in time. And there's some disconnect, and then he blesses it. Even though you might not talk about it at length, you know that that area of your life got tremendously blessed, and it will be forever transformed. How can you transform that without, you know, doing so much other things? So being with Dr. Pillai at Guru Purnima, if you can do it, go do it. And if you can't or you haven't yet manifested it, pray to Ganesha, because Ganesha is within you. So we are going to, what's the foreground this week of energy? We have full moon today in the west. I think it's still the 14th waxing moon in the east. So that's going to continue on for into Sunday and Monday. And then we have summer solstice. Whoa, yes, this is a big vortex week. So, and then we have a fourth moon, fourth waning moon, which is Chaturthi, which is another great moon for Ganesha. So what am I following? I'm following the Astrobed calendar, that is available. You can buy it on Fly Center or Astrobet. I recommend everyone get one. Hard copy is fabulous to have, because sometimes our technology gets stuck and you can just pick this up like old school and then see it as when you put something in your hand and you feel it and you look at it and you point your finger at that spot. It's like all those energies jump out of that calendar day. So we're here every week to inform everyone and share about the energies of the week ahead, and then to do your meditations, knowing that you can get blessings from the Father, the spiritual Father, can get blessings the full moon, so abundance. You can get blessings from the summer solstice that's coming in, the longest day of the year, which is going to help to bring in the energy of the sun to illuminate or enlighten those synaptic gaps. The synapses between each neuron are going to get, as each neuron gets fired up or lit up with the meditations, the sounds that we do, then the gaps in between are going to be spitting out different neurotransmitter substances that's going to get uptaken. So that's going to affect the brain in a whole new way. And when we affect the brain, the rest of the body is going to be following suit accordingly. It's going to relax more. Do we tell our body to relax? Yeah, we can, but does it? No. So meditation, that's what meditation does. It says internally or automatically or at the level of you can't control it in the sense that you can't say, okay, now I'm switching on this neurotransmitter substance. You know, it is going to affect the neurons, and then the neurons are going to affect the rest of the nervous system and so on. You can say all that or relate to it. All the science has done that. But for our purposes here is that you just know that everything is going to be fired up this week. Your mind is going to be totally wanting to experience abundance in these two couple of days. And even if you don't understand what that means, that is going to be happening anyways. So when we do understand or we are aware of it, then we can tap into it even more. And we dive into the consciousness like we're swimming, and we can't really see the other side because we've dove in. Excuse me. So we can dive into this consciousness, swim around in it, and then come out, and then see where we are in relation to where we dove in, and feel how we are feeling in relation to when we first dove in or jumped in and then went under. So we're going to dive deep into ourselves and see if we can access something about our soul. How will we know? Maybe we'll have some visions. Maybe we'll have some bodily experiences. Maybe we'll have some releases. Maybe we'll have some emotional releases. There have been members this week who have been doing their meditations, and they have been crying. They've been releasing a lot. And normally that happens on a waning moon cycle, you know, when the moon is getting less and less. This is a waxing cycle where it's getting bigger and bigger in the sky. So it can be being fully aware of that which we need to release so that we can experience abundance. And we see the little nasties that are coming up and they're not feeling so great. But in the same time, we can immerse ourselves, be with that, and then allow that lake of consciousness or that pool of consciousness or that ocean of consciousness to just wash it all away, to cleanse it all away. That's why we go to sacred rivers and sacred vortexes, like ponds or pools of water that have been blessed, wells of water that have been blessed for millennia, for long, thousands and thousands of years. We can't even backtrack it. But they have healing properties. And people who go there and who are attuned to that ability to heal themselves, they will definitely experience it and share it with others. So that's what we have going on this week. And then the fourth waning moon is on the 23rd, according to, this is an IST calendar, by the way. I'm still in IST time. I'm back in Toronto, by the way. That's why I'm a little sick, because that was a bit of a long travels, and then I had a sinus issue going on, and that's always an indication as well that the karma is shifting. I was in India, as you may all know, for the past 4.5 months, unexpectedly, but very happy to have been, and share about all the travels and places that I visited and tap into the energy there and bringing the meditations to everyone so they could enjoy the blessings as well, coming from those power spots. So I was a little bit feeling offside, although it's clearing now. And that is a strong indicator when we do feel lethargic or we do feel sick unexpectedly, like nothing is around me, no one's coughing on me, no one's, you know, it's not the season to have that. Or you feel body aches, unexpected body aches, or maybe situations where your health has been a bit unstable before, but it's stabilized and then it it gets out of balance and you experience it again. It resurfaces. So that is an indication that there's a spiritual shift happening and you're just getting rid of, you know, residual karma. So bear with it, you know, be kind to yourself and just say, okay, it's not a big deal. Now, if you do have persistent health issues, of course, we always say go to your doctor or go to, you know, a specialist if that's needed and pay attention to that and do things that are going to keep you balanced as you go deeper into your spiritual practices, meditations, because you cannot evolve. And if people say, oh, I can evolve and I don't really care, I can eat and smoke and drink and, you know, not that I'm saying you have to do anything or the other. You can smoke or do whatever you want, drink. But that might be fine for some people. But the others who want to go really to high heights, that will eventually drop off. You won't have that desire. It will just like make you so sick that you won't want to do it again. You know, our addictions, like sugar addictions. There's a lot of people who said since they started working with a Ganesha, he's gotten rid of their obsessions. And obsessions have been at the level of food obsessions or like coffee, you know, ODing on coffee or sugar or chocolate or candy. The obsessions of fear, putting themselves into situations where they just go, why do I always put myself in these situations? To experience fear. That's crazy. I don't want to do that. Or they're obsessed about stuff that has happened in the past and they can't figure it out because it's already gone and they want to correct the past. Can't correct the past. Hello? None of us can. And it's a hard one. I'm myself. I go there all the time and go, I wish I would have done this or why did I do that? Yes, note it. Note to self. That's where I messed up. Then we've got to also use our time, money, and energy wisely to make the corrections, bring in the divine, and allow the you know, the forgiveness energy to go and soothe those souls that you messed up with or the situations that you messed up with, and just let the divine make it better so that the memories aren't going to grab on and make you feel bad for longer periods of time. If you haven't made the corrections, do that at the level of the soul. If you can, go and say to the person, if that's not possible, then, you know, again, prayer is so powerful because it is beyond the body. It's beyond the mind. It's beyond everything we know about already. It's already been said and done. It's beyond all that. So prayer is zing, direct link to your highest self. And we have these angels, or as Dr. Pai calls them, archetypes or deities, shiny beings. They're the energies behind the scenes, behind what we can see in our everyday life. But we can experience or feel their presence. And then we can call on them with the mantras, the practices. And then say, okay, I leave it up to you now. You do the needful. You do what needs to be done. So that this gets corrected and never repeated. Amen. So,
that's what's happening this week, and we'll round out the final energy of the week, which will be like a six moon, I believe it is. Six moon is always about Lord Muruga. So Lord Muruga is Ganesha's brother. He is a warrior. Yesterday, Dr. Ply shared a video, which today, by the way, we are going to go over that meditation practice when we tap into the energy of Ganesha. And today is Sunday, and Sunday is always a great day for Lord Ganesha. So every Sunday, if we miss every other day of the week, and you come to Sunday and you have a little bit extra time, then pray to that Ganesha energy within you, and that will do you a world of good. So his brother is Muruga, and he has the energy to destroy any negative forces that are impacting your life in the form of competitors or rivals, or if you have debt and there's no way out, he will show you a way. If you're going through litigations or divorce or something that's really going to, you know, turn your life upside down, call on Muruga's energy, and we'll do a meditation with that as well, using symbols, the symbols of the veil. The veil is like a spear or a lance, and we have done that in previous weeks and years as well with Dr. Plyan, and also in this program, where we put the image of the veil as our backbone and brain. So the shaft is your backbone, and then the head of the veil is your brain. And when you just image that, you just imagine it, just as you're listening to me, blah, 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 you just see, oh, there's, I feel this spear-like object as my backbone. There's the shaft of it. Boom. It has tremendous amount of energy. It has tremendous amount of intelligence. It burns or purifies my past life karmas, this life karmas, future life karmas, anything that's represented to anyone who's negative towards me, or any negative energies that I can't dispel. Maybe my health is being impacted. I have low energy. So just imagine the shaft lighting up your spine, and then the head of the veil becomes your brain, and the tip pierces the top of the skull. And you just, you can be with your eyes open or your eyes closed just for a second and see flash. Everybody knows what a spear is. And then you just put that spear as your backbone in your brain. And you just open your eyes again, close them, open them, close them. You know, however you want to do that. And just to keep putting that image in, putting that image in. And that image, when we, as Dr. Ply says, when you drive it or energize it or empower it with the mantra, then that will get you out of situations that you just are so stuck in, or you don't have any way out. It will, because it's divine technology, it will say, hey, you got the right tool. You got the right key. Let's get you out of here. Let's get you, you got the right weapon to fight those negative forces. Because the things that show up in our life are nothing but manifestations of negative forces, period. Whether it's controlled by the negative effects of planets or past lives, karmas, whatever. It's just, it's coming in and impacting at the level of the body, at the level of the mind, at the level of the soul, at the level of our pursuits in life, this lifetime. So those two brothers are who we are going to focus on. Yes, it's a full moon. We'll pop in a little Shreem Brzee because that's the goddess, and we always want to imagine having the blessings of the goddess energy to have abundance consciousness. You know, someone can give us $1 million, and if we don't know what to do with it, or we don't feel worthy of it, soon it will be gone. So it's not a case of just having money or having stuff. We have to really understand that it's a consciousness to be able to use that energy and protect that energy, not in a hoarding way, but just understand this is grace. This is the grace of the goddess who's giving me a beautiful home, who's giving me a beautiful car, who's giving me beautiful relationships. And if you don't have those things, then there's something a little bit off with your consciousness. So just tune into it and see how the goddess will show you, okay, you didn't care about that before. You didn't care if you had a beautiful home. You didn't care if you had a nice car. You didn't care if you had great relationships. What you did care about was not having that and then complaining about it. So it makes us to be really authentic when we start to take responsibility of what we were taught, how we were thinking or moving towards or away from abundance and comforts in life. So the goddess energy is going to be something that we'll also tap into today. And then Shiva energy is the energy of the sun, the overlord of the sun. So we will always light up the spine with Shiva energy. Shiva energy is nothing but the five elements. The five elements represent everything that makes your body up and everything that makes up the universe. The five elements are the earth, the water, the fire, the air, and the space. And those in our body will go through that when we activate all the chakras. So that is Shiva, and Shiva is us. And when we get into that energy, then we know, oh my God, I can tap into the total creative energy of the whole universe and the intelligence of the universe. And then I can also have the energy to destroy negativity, which is what Dr. Ply shared too yesterday, was that we have to call on these archetypes to destroy negative forces. That is our own individual God right and duty, and then also collectively. So collectively, here we are across the globe tuning in online, and we are going to put all that energy into our meditation, and then when we connect the dots of wherever we are in the world, we'll just be like creating this beautiful net or network of protection, grace, blessings, the ability to dissolve any negative forces that are causing problems between each of us dots around the world. And how is that going to happen? It's not going to happen maybe through our own physical, but from our higher selves. That's where the fun is. That's where the adventure is, as Dr. Ply says. So let's go on a little adventure internally. And then we will experience maybe something to do with our father, maybe something to do with releasing any negativity that's related to our father, maybe related to the goddess energy, Ganesha's energy to remove obstacles. Maybe we'll get clarity around our situations. As we're coming out, maybe we'll feel more peaceful. And when you feel peaceful, when you feel clarity, then you have solutions. Solutions get revealed. Maybe the right person will come along, or in the exact moment that you needed something, it was given to you. That's not blind faith. That is because you are turning this over to these divine beings, these archetypes, who are alive eternally. And then as you're evolving, you can connect with that level of understanding. It has nothing to do with what you believe in or not. Belief comes after, when things manifest, or don't, because you didn't pay attention. So we're here to go on an adventure internally, and we'll start with praying to Ganesha. And we'll see you next time. Those of you who are going to stay, this is the time where we open up the line. And if we have any experiences that we'd like to share, that would be really awesome. And then also questions are always fun. So you can just press star 6 if you want to share an experience or ask a question. Sometimes it takes us a bit to come out of the meditation if we really got into it. So until someone interrupts me, I will share some things about what's going on. So Dr. Pillai gave us this meditation today as a little tester or appetizer for the next Ganesha program that is going to be going on. It's a couple of months program. It'll be starting, I think, in July. So if you haven't been able to get into the previous program or you're in that program and you want to progress through the next to the next level of understanding Ganesha, then please do that. Check it out on Fly Center. I've heard some really fabulous feedback about the program from members, and members also have shared how immersing themselves in a structured program, focusing specifically on this archetype Ganesha, has changed their lives in a very short period of time. I think the previous program was 3 months. But if you missed that live program, it's offered as an evergreen, so you can do it at your own pace. It's available at Fly Center Academy. So this meditation today was a prelude to one of the meditations that's going to be offered in that next program. And that's coming up in July. So, last week, again, Radha shared about how the planets are impacting the area of our life associated with, mostly with the sun. That's what we're focusing on here in Sundays with Sucharita, is the sun's transit every 30 days. So if we can focus our attention for 30 days on third house matters, the natural third house matters. It might be different for your chart. If you don't know where your planets are or what your chart is, then you can get a live astrology consultation through AstroVet. And it's really easy, and it's so, it's such a great investment because it's all about you. And it gives you the roadmap of what you are experiencing at this moment in time. It's not just a it can have some predictive qualities, but it's not just, okay, here's your birth chart, here's who you are, this is what you're doing for the rest of your life. It's not like that. It is kind of like your blueprint. You're given energies that are going to be impacting your life through the planets. Planets represent different aspects of our being as well. Even though they look like they're outside of us, they are, but then they impact different aspects of our body, our mind, our soul, our collective subconscious, our ability to tap into that and transform it, change it, if it's not great. So Dr. Pillai is all about changing your destiny. Wherever you're destined to go, that, and if it's not great, you can get out of it. There's a way out. There's a different route. So having a live astrology consultation is so key to understanding where you are at the present and where you and why you are presently. Some astrologers might say you need this background information because you keep repeating the same mistakes. So once you understand, oh, my chart was set up this way. Oh, I decided at the soul level that I wanted to do this. And I wanted the plants to give me these problems or give me these boons in life. But at this point in time, I don't have time to waste anymore. So I have to call on their higher, you know, get in good with their good books. So they give you blessings. So it's good to get an astrology consultation. It will help you to understand not only where how it's impacting you in your chart, but how the planets that are transiting for everybody, because you see them in the sky, they're going around. What are they doing going around out there? Are they even going around? Where are they going? We don't have to know all about that. We just have to know as they move, they will create time. It might be fast, it might be slow, it might be difficult, it might be fabulous, it might be anything in between. Time goes by, but who we are being and how we are experiencing life, that is an indicator of how we're using our time. and energy, right? So with Gemini in the natural third house, it's all about courage and risk-taking. Not that you're going to go jump off a cliff or invest all your money into the stock market and you know nothing about it and you just hope that it all works out. Not like that. You're going to see into your chart what is going on, why you're fearful, why you're feeling stuck, why you keep making the same mistakes over and over. And then when that gets revealed, because that's what the astrologer does, they shed light. How do they shed light? They dispel darkness. That's their gift. They just can see, and with seeing or sight, that is fire. And fire purifies the darkness. So it sheds light on the situation that you are faced with, and then gives you the ability to have, oh, wow, I don't know what I was so fearful about, or, ooh, that is a little bit uncomfortable, but I think I can handle it. So it will give you that shift in your perspective, and it, because the darkness isn't there, the light has been shed, the awareness is there, and boom, you know how to act differently. You can attract situations or people into your lives that can help you to take more risk or to support you as you take risks or to educate you. Okay, you don't have to jump from here to here. Let's just take it step by step. And when you take it step by step, oh, wasn't so hard. So they can give you like a hand holding type situation where you feel cared for and comfortable, even though you're a little shaky or you don't know what the heck's going on. You don't know how it's all going to roll out. Those people will come to you because they are like God's little angel coming to you to at the right time to take you along and guide you. It also represents the third house, natural third house, also represents your siblings or peers. Generally, siblings, they're people who not necessarily are biological, but they can be, you know, half-siblings. Or they can come into your family in another family, non-biological, or your families come together and they become your step-siblings, as they call them. Or it can be people who are, you know, like siblings to you in your life, sister, you know, like sister friends, like sisters. You know, I have sisters, and I call them sisters. And I have brothers, and I call them brothers. So, you know, you can, there can be friends or peers, you know, peers you look to give you support as you're going along, maybe your work colleagues or social peers, where you say, hey, you know, what do you think I should do? Or what do you think about this? What about this situation? What would you do? So those will be there, and you will overcome that which is taking you, keeping you stuck or maybe even going backwards, right? Short journeys and things that to-do list. You know, you've got to run errands. You're just avoiding doing that. So this is the natural third house, Gemini. It can do many things, and it's not scattered. Some astrologers will say it's because it's the twins. It will go one way or the other, you know? It's not like that at all. That's one perspective. But from my understanding and research over the years with Gemini, they can create a tremendous amount of energy to do multiple things and accomplish them all at once. So if you haven't had that experience of doing all the things that you need to do, this is a good time because the sun is saying, here, this is the most intelligent way. Here's the energy to do multitasking like you've never done before. And there's the good thing. It's not going to be ongoing, or could be if you have a Gemini ascendant or sun or moon in Gemini. That's your kind of built that way. That's your blueprint. So that's your gift. Or you might have good aspects on Gemini regardless. everyone, the sun is illuminating this area, so you can do many things for the next 30 days as the sun is giving you the intelligence, giving you the power, giving you the energy to select the different areas of your life or projects of your life that are the most easy for you to do, even though they look, oh my God, overwhelming. You will have the intelligence to do it because Mercury rules that sign too. And it gives you that intuition or that super quick thinking to turn it around or to dive deep into or to create different ways. And then the sun will keep shining on that area and purifying it and giving the pathway to complete those multi-tasks. So, for example, if you're moving and you have projects at work and your kids are graduating and it's summertime and you're going on vacation and you have health issues or your parents have health issues, you've got stuff going on all around, you will find yourself getting up, actually going to bed with your to-do list, saying, I can do this, I can do this, I got to go here, I got to go there. You'll be talking to yourself. And if you're not aware of that, then you've got some negative forces that are going to say, just go to sleep, forget about it, it'll all work out. The divine will come in and do it. Yes, the divine will be there, but you got to open the door. And you got to say, hey, this is where I want you to help me to do the things that I got to do. So you do it with great intelligence and with energy to do it as well. So, and then you will feel, oh my God, I'm so bold, I'm adventurous, I'm outgoing. Maybe other people will say, whoa, you got so much done. How do you have all the energy? Wow, that's so inspiring. You know, and then you'll have that experience of completing all those tasks and doing it for a very short burst of time because you know how fast time flies. It's like, you know, we're already into the next week of the sun transit. We only have three more to go. So put into your consciousness, hey, I'm in the land of multitasking or us, and I can do a lot. I just need to write down the areas of my life that I need to get this project done. I need to pay attention to this. And then I take the steps to do it. I make the first step, which is to call on God. Ganesha would be a good one. Because he clears all the obstacles for it to get done. He energizes you. It's not just his this invisible being outside who does all this magic stuff, makes things happen, miracles, blah, blah, blah. It's not like that. It is. However, it's within you. You feel the surge coming from the base of you, the root of you. This is like unsticking you. Get off your butt and get out there. Get doing stuff. Tis the season, right? It's the time where you can do all multiple things at once. And then you will feel courageous, bold, adventurous. Ha! I can do anything. Da-da-da. You know, you are going to be feeling very successful. Okay? No one can tell you if you do this, then you will feel success. You have to do this to feel success. And then you'll know, oh, this is what it is. So it's, you know, a sign also, Gemini again is ruled by Mercury, and it's also about the ability to communicate. So you will take the risk, i.e. today, Father's Day, hi, Dad, how are you? Whether he's here on the earth plane, whether you've had a great relationship or not, whether you call him, text him, email him, do a prayer for him, you're going to open that part of ourselves, yourself, that says be at peace and get the blessings of the Father. Just as we did with the blessings of the Mother on Mother's Day, we do that with the Father on Father's Day. Biological or otherwise, spiritual, stepfather, whatever, mentor in our life, authority figure. we are saying to ourselves and ourselves in our body that make us to think things and to then act, say things and act on those words, which were thoughts, that is going to impact how you move forward to the next year. And I just, on my computer, I have a couple of laptops. One laptop I had taken to India because it was smaller to carry. And then I came home and I saw on my other laptop sitting on my desk, there's a picture of Dr. Ply. And it's taped with scotch tape with a sticky, an orange sticky note. And it says, focus on Father's Day. The challenge from June 2015, Father's Day, to this June 2016. So for 1 year, that everything in my life has to change. The money, financial consciousness has to change. At the level of the heart must change. The health and well-being must change. Every aspect of my life must change. That is my sticky note. And here it is, Father's Day. What am I looking back at 365 days ago up until this point? First of all, my first reaction was, holy crap, how fast did this time fly? And what, looking at that sticky note, did all those areas change? And what did I do to make those areas change? So we can go on and on about how that all changed, which it did for me. And I'm like, oh man, this is what intention setting is all about. And just having it there, where I probably looked at it and read it, you know, every day that I turned my computer on. But I didn't in the past 4.5 months because I didn't have that sticky note. I had a different computer. But I was always focusing on the divine, on Dr. Ply, internally guiding and saying, what are you doing now for me? What do I have to do now for myself? Here's how I'm going to propitiate. Here's what I'm going to leave up to you. And all those areas that I put down on the sticky note have changed 100%. Absolutely. So, that's a miracle. Because I didn't even, until I looked at it yesterday, when I pulled it off the old computer, because I'm using my one that I went to India more, I restuck it back on there. Okay, 365 days have gone by, now what? I'm going to focus on those even getting better, those areas. So how does that work? We create vision boards, create lists of the areas of our life, and keep looking at it. Even if it doesn't hit your brain or you don't have whatever thought about it, on any given day, it doesn't matter. It's impacting and saying to your highest self, this person can't even focus on this. So you better, every time they pray, you better remember this is the areas that they want to get some manifestation happening. So that's just, you know, how fast time flies, what are we doing, and are the teachings of Dr. Ply, the services offered through Ply Center Esteret, are they helping us to take the steps? Or are we continuing to be the same old, whatever that is? And then how that is affecting what we are manifesting thereafter. So that's what I wanted to share. Maybe some people are here that are available now to, you know, maybe ask a question or share an experience. inspire others.
I just signed up for something. Let me see what I signed up for. Experience Global Meditation for International Yoga Day. It's a free webcast with Dr. Pillai, and it is all about the supermind. It's free, and it starts in one day, 21 hours and 27 minutes. So supermind meditation for World Yoga Day, offered through Pillai Center. I just signed up, and they send and in the email, and it says, this is a free webcast. You'll experience why Patanjali defined yoga as stopping the mind, how the mind is not an object but a process, why you need to stop the mind, how you can stop the mind, and then non-mind or supermind meditation. And the date is, again, Tuesday, the 21st of June, 7 to 8 a.m. PDT, California time, 2 to 3 p.m. Universal Time, and then 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. India Standard Time. And then if you are in Eastern Daylight Time like me, it'll be 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Tuesday, June 21st. So sign up for it. And then you'll be tapping into the energy of a lot of people celebrating International Yoga Day and getting into supermind. And it's interesting because I've studied with Dr. Pillai, as you all know, for many years, and so a lot of other people. And each time he gives a teaching, say, for example, Patanjali, it's so complex. You take lifetimes to try to understand Patanjali's Yoga Sutras and how that yoga or union with God, your highest self, doesn't really stick. Or how do you get into that and plus do life, you know, everyday life? So over the years that I've been immersed in those kinds of teachings, then my consciousness grabs on to the next level of understanding, and it keeps grabbing it and grabbing it and grabbing it and going after it and absorbing it. So it's not a one-off. You got it and then it's done. It's like in life. You know, you might learn a skill, or you might learn something in your academic pursuits or your professional pursuits, and because life and everything else, you forget about it. You know, oh my God, I was so immersed in it. I just got, you know, A+ in it, or 4.0 average in it, or I rocked my work world in it and I nailed that deal or whatever it was. And then you don't do that for some time and you go, oh God, I lost all that. Mm-hmm. Or working out or whatever it is, you know, I could run a marathon and now I can't walk to the corner store. I take my car. So it's these free webcasts that where Dr. Pillai is sharing at this point in time, the teachings that he's sharing, especially about the supermind or yoga or Patanjali, is because there's a vortex all across the board, across the globe, that is going to be a great space for that to... for us to immerse in and give us the results, maybe in a whole new way. Is there someone?
Hi, it's Indrani.
How did I know you were going to come on today?
Well, I'm very well, thank you. I was holding off saying something in case somebody else wanted to say something, but I do have a question to ask, and I'm afraid I don't have any experience to share from this meditation because I slept through the whole meditation.
Okay.
I'm sure I was snoring and drooling and everything like that. I'm sure it was a very powerful meditation because that's typically what happens to me when it's really powerful. I just go right out. But last time I was on, I think it was, was it last week when Radha was talking about the transits and everything? What I wanted to ask about is, how do we know which house is what number? in our birth chart. And the reason I ask that is because I would like to know in my chart where, like, Saturn is transiting right now. And I know in from my birth chart, like, I know where, from running the thing on Astrobed, I have a pretty good idea of where, you know, my ascendant is, where my moon is, and all that kind of stuff. But what I don't know is those numbers of the houses. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do, and I'm going to invite Radha. Are you there, Radha, if you would like to share about that? Otherwise, I will touch on it a bit.
Hi, this is Radha.
Hey, Radha, great, thanks.
Hi, yes, I'm here. Actually, you can find out that info on Astrobed. I think there's a free report. I'm just looking here.
So I got the report, right? But what it doesn't tell me is, yeah, it doesn't tell me, like, which one's my first house and which one's my second house. It tells me, you know, which planet is in which, like, which sign is in which planet, I think, is what it's called. No, I'm probably saying it wrong. It doesn't sound right what I'm saying. So if I go into Astrobed right now and have a look at my chart.
Okay, yeah, actually, there's going to be something in the chart. One of the houses, it's going to have a symbol letting you know that it's the first house. And it might be an ASC, standing for Ascendant, or
yeah.
AS, or it could
yeah.
be like an L, standing for Lagna, which means same thing, for first house.
Right, okay, so the Ascendant is the first house. So for me, the Ascendant is in scales. What's that one, Libra?
Yes, Libra.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so you can count that house as one, and then just continue counting clockwise. And so the second house is going to be Scorpio, so that means...
Oh, so you go backwards.
Well, like a clock.
Okay.
And so Saturn right now is going through your second house from your ascendant.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I have like four planets in my second house. I have Mars, Mercury, the Sun, and Venus all in my second house, which is Scorpio.
Okay, interesting. So whenever there's a lot of planets in one house, there's a lot of energy and focus in that area of life. Now, also, a lot of times we look at the transits from the point of view of the moon, where the moon is placed. So we can also look at the chart from a different point of view. So we would count the house where the moon is placed as the first house.
Oh, okay. So my moon is in Sagittarius.
Okay. So in that case, the Saturn would be in the 12th house. From your moon sign.
So then if I want to count the 12th house, I again go clockwise, and I would go back from Sagittarius, and I would count 12 houses, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then the 12th house
That's the same house then, right? Scorpio. So if Saturn's in Scorpio, and that's my second or 12th house, then, and I got all those planets in there, then does that mean that because if Saturn is ruled by Scorpio, I think Saturn's ruled by Scorpio, is that right?
Well, Saturn is transiting through Scorpio.
And didn't you say last time that it's at home in Scorpio or something like that? Like it likes Scorpio, or it feels affinity for Scorpio?
Well, Saturn, not so much. Mars is actually the ruler of Scorpio, and he's there too right now.
Okay.
And so he feels good there. You know, he has a lot of power there. But then Saturn, it's more like an enemy territory for Saturn to be in Mars's house, Scorpio.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
And so then, as far as the Sun transit right now being in Gemini, how do I interpret that impact, or that influence, rather, in my chart?
Well,
I don't have any, I don't have any planets in Gemini.
Okay, but and then maybe I should explain now, because what we talked about, how we can look at the chart in two different perspectives, one being where we look at it from your ascendant, your rising
mm-hmm.
sign,
mm-hmm.
and the other one being where we look at it from your moon sign.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times the astrologer would just make a decision on which way they're going to read the chart.
Mm.
Definitely we start out, you know, with our ascendant is our first house as we're growing up. But then maybe sometimes later on we might decide to read the chart from the moon instead, because our moon is our mind and emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, you know, and that changes as we get older.
Right.
And a lot of times, astrologers will apply a test. They look at, like, the 10th house of profession, and they see which one matches best, whether we're looking at it either one of the two points of views, and then that's how they decide.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm sorry. I hope that didn't get kind of confusing, but you
know,
no,
not at all.
To read both descriptions. Like, you could just do like a search. Okay, what are the significations of Saturn in my second house? And
right.
Okay, what are the significations of Saturn in my 12th house?
Right. Okay.
And because sometimes it can be a combination, you know. And the one thing about astrology is no two astrologers will ever agree.
It's
your chart, so, you know, anyway, so the same thing with the sun. I mean, it's in Gemini right now. It could be from the point of view of your moon, your mind and emotions, it's in your seventh house of relationships. But in the point of view of your rising sign, that's, 9th house. Of nine talents has to do with the Father, grace, compassion.
Really? So yeah. my ninth house from my ascendant is Cancer.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Looks like Cancer would be 10 houses from your from Libra. Count Libra as number one.
Oh, I'm not counting Libra as number one. So
yeah.
It'd be Gemini. Oh, it would be Gemini.
Yeah. And one good book to get started with, if you're interested, is Beneath a Vedic Sky.
I think Sutrita has mentioned that one to me before.
Beneath a Vedic Sky by William Levesey. That's a nice book, because it'll list out for you. Okay, so what is the transit of Sun in your seventh house likely to do? You know, what is, you know, all the different scenarios. How about Mars in your first house? And you could just look it up quickly. You don't have to read the whole book.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it is a book that has a lot of info. It's not like a super simple beginning book, but it is really good.
Mm. Okay, great. That's been very helpful.
Good.
Now, when you talk about the transit, though, that the sun is in, I think this is where the start of my question was. When you talk about how the sun is transiting and the sun is in Gemini right now, how do I interpret how that affects my how that influences my birth chart, or how my birth chart is influenced by that?
Well, because the first influence that we talk about in the weekly talks is like a general one for everyone. You're right. It just for everyone in the world, Gemini is the natural third house, which has to do with taking risks and courage and our peers. and short trips even. So that, you know, that does have an influence for us. It's like, you know, it's like a, if you think about it like weather, it's like a general weather pattern, like, okay, it's summer now for all of us
right.
in North America. But right. then if you look in closer, we all live in different cities, even in different microclimates within the same city. And so that would be like our personal chart, where the planets were when we were born. And so there I would look at, well, I mean, for myself, I tend to look at the chart from my moon sign. That's just me, you know. But I would look and I would say, like, for me, it's actually my 11th house from my moon. And so I just think about, like, okay, this is what the 11th house is for me. It's a house of, that's to do with making profit and gains and, like, community and people and stuff like that. And I think, okay, the sun is lighting this up, this area of life for me. And I wonder what that, and I just kind of think about it, like, I wonder what that means for me this month, and how can I reach out to people more this month, and how can I think about, get more of a, thinking about a profit consciousness and ways to make, have gains in life.
Okay. If I understand what you're saying, if I look at my own chart and I see that from my moon sign, Gemini is the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th house, which is the house of relationships, then I could interpret the influence as being that I might take more risks in my personal relationships. So I might either, you know, challenge people that I wouldn't normally challenge because I'm willing to take more of a risk, or I might actually, you know, ask somebody out on a date, which would not be something that I would normally do. It would be quite a risky, I would consider it to be a very risky move for me.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So you're thinking about it, and once you even start to think about, you know, the sun, your seventh house, it's like you're creating a connection with those energies that we can't see, but they're actually influencing our consciousness a lot. And so you can get the intuition from the sun of what, and it could be a good time for, like, business and doing, like, partnerships, you know, negotiations. But then just be careful, you know, not to let partners, like, convince you into settling for something you really don't want, because the sun is about integrity, too, and the highest good. And there could be discord, because the sun is a very fiery energy. So that's something to be careful of.
Okay, this is great. I'm actually learning a lot more now and starting to understand it a lot better now. And this is what I always really like, Radha, about when you do your talks about the transits and everything. You're quite practical in terms of your approach to astrology, and give really solid examples, like real life examples that I can relate to.
Great. Yeah, I'm glad that's helpful. Yeah, it's always good to be practical, something that we can use today, you know, use to make things better. Yeah, and the good thing is that the more you pay attention to all the time energies, the more that they'll guide you in a good direction, and you'll get the intuition from them, like, oh, I need to focus on this thing this month. So great. Good luck. Hope you have a wonderful month.
Thanks.
Thank you, Radha. And Indrani, do you have any other questions, Indrani?
No, I really feel like now I have a lot to digest, a lot to think about. And even I'm encouraged to do more research about astrology and the personal impact it has on me personally. And what I also like about what Radha just said was, when you look at that transit into Gemini, and Gemini being the third natural, or the third house for, like, humanity, right? And what the impact is on us in general of the transit of the sun into Gemini. It makes sort of it gives an interesting perspective on how to relate to others, whether you know their birth chart or not, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because you know everybody is being impacted. The sun is going to rise and set all around the world, whether you can see it or not. It's going to have an impact, you know, and it's going to affect all the different areas of our life. So we are, as on the spiritual path, we want to be able to take in that energy, whether the sun is shining on us at the moment, or whether it's behind a cloud, or whether it's on the other side and it's nighttime, perceived in our world. We will align with that, and that will give us the intelligence. It will give us the ability to act royally, to take the highest road, to lead, to be a shining light in that area of our life, or to go clean up that area of the life. And how we clean it up is we put our work and our attention on it. We don't necessarily go in the fire blazing, we'll burn everybody down, or we'll burn out, or we'll get burned. So we have to respect these celestial beings and how they are transmitting that information to us. And the way we can do that so we aren't freaked out about it or have to understand too much about it is that we just, as Radha shares, just do practical things. And then that is, in and of itself, showing us, oh, this is what it can do. This is where I'd like to if I have, you know, that stronger connection. And then so that being or that energy, that intelligence, will guide us next on, here's how you can find out more. Or here's what you can do in this situation. So if it's relationships that it's shining on or illuminating, and then you will see every relationship that you are in, whether it's work, whether it's friends, whether it's family, whether it's business, whether it's the person at the grocery store that you go to, whether it's your own self sitting with your own self, whether it's your cat or your dog, how you are relating to someone else or yourself, you will experience the planets, those planetary influences impacting you. So you have to be careful about what you think, what thoughts are coming in. And you just take a moment and say, ooh, not a good thought. You will intuitively know, even though you want to be right or make someone wrong, or you want to avoid being wrong, so the other person is right. So you want to avoid all, you want to get out of all that, and then just allow what exactly needs to come in that will be for the highest and best at any given moment in time. You know, without judgment, with all that stuff. He should know this, she should know this, I should know this, I should know that. Yeah, okay, fine. But are you there, and is that other person there? If not, then it's going to be a learning experience, let's just say. You're still going to learn, but it's going to be a little bit stepping on toes kind of thing. Or it can destroy. So someone like you who has a lot of planets, as Radha was saying, and this is just my, in my humble opinion and understanding of astrology, when there's a lot of houses or a lot of planets in one house or one sign, you have a lot of power. You have a lot of energy, but you got to understand how to handle that.
Yeah, I often don't.
Yeah,
and understand so how to handle it.
Yeah, and so, but life gives you those lessons, but also life has given you, in particular, because I know you, is given you people who can guide you and give you insights and give you, advice. And if you don't follow that advice or you do follow that advice, you'll have different experiences. And then you learn from those experiences, and then you just move on from there. It's like having, you know, someone gives you the keys to a Lamborghini. And you're just like, what? I love this. Oh, it's great. But then you go, how the heck do I even turn this thing on? You know, and then you get in there and you go, oh, how do I drive it? Oh, my God, this is so powerful, right?
Yeah.
And then you get out on the roads and you like people are staring at you, people break your car, people, you know, all this thing. You're going, why me? You have a lot of energy, so you have to have a lot of intelligence on how to navigate this unit that you call yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So be careful. Very good. You have to be really careful of how you are navigating in life, given what we're sharing here every week, or Radha's sharing with the transit talks, and what we're encouraging everyone to understand is know thyself. So knowing about your astrology is knowing, and with that knowledge, then you can navigate in life accordingly. Anything else?
Well, I saw on AstroVed that there's this group Gayatri Homa. Can you talk a little bit about why that is? It's tomorrow, of course, June 20th, ISD, although that might be today. But what is happening that's having that be? Is there some sort of a moon or something like that that is having this be auspicious during the Gayatri mantra?
Yeah, I think I don't offhand, but you can go on to the blog and you'll see the newsletters there. You can reread why it's so important. I have a feeling because it's a solstice or around the solstice. Rod, do you know? Because Gayatri is the sun, right?
Right.
It's the intelligence, it's the goddess, so it's not, it's also a feminine force, right? So.
Oh, I see. Sorry, I didn't page down. It says that it's because the moon is going to be in K2 and in the sign Sagittarius.
So maybe that's why it's appealing to you. Because
and the sun will be in the sign Gemini along with Venus.
Yeah, so there it is. It's going to make you want to go out and ask for a date. Good luck with that.
Thank you very much.
I'm just kidding. I don't know. I'm just saying. But you're going to be compelled to have more, you know, happiness and joy in your relationships with others.
Yeah.
Given that you have a Lamborghini type of personality.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. That's great. Thank you very much for all that.
You're welcome. Thanks, Radha, for sharing as well. Are there any other questions or comments about what has gone on in this program today or in the coming week ahead? Please, if you haven't listened to or watched the free video webcasts that are available on Ply Center, they're free, first and foremost. They're so transforming. And I watched it yesterday, but I had noticed that I was a little bit off. I'd watched it after doing about 5 or 6 hours of intensive work where I had to really focus. So then I just watched it afterwards and I was half in it. I was a little bit out of my mind. And so today I watched it again. And it gave a totally different perspective. And I thought about it and I said, okay, well, what was that all about? 14th waxing moon was happening at this point in time. And that's a time for Ganesha. And Ganesha is now really powerful because Dr. Ply is saying, you know, visualize this axe. So if you have a lot of challenges or you know, maybe you're born with that kind of energy where you got to have a lot of you have a lot of grace and blessings coming from having maybe powerful planets in your chart, but you just don't know how to handle the negative qualities or the qualities of the planets that are going to teach you the lessons and and you don't really like that. That becomes a negative experience. So calling on these divine archetypes, Ganesha is actually, we always call on Ganesha for astrology because he will help you to clear the way to see. So, you know, with Ganesha now, with this webcast that we just had yesterday, is the archetype is saying, visualize the axe, like we did today in the meditation. So if you're listening to the meditation or you're watching that video on this week again, you will get the image or the imprint or that energy of the axe. Maybe we'll start seeing axes all over the place. Just like we start seeing elephants on book packs and backpacks and clothes and t-shirts, and, you know, all over the place. Or on the internet, we will start seeing axes. And the axe will destroy the negativity. And that will be how you know you're connecting deeper with Ganesha, the archetype who's so, so available. His energy is available. You just can't see him with the two biological eyes. But if you just keep practicing and through these spiritual tools or kind of clues, or secrets, that which has been kept secret from us. Dr. Ply is always giving us, here, try this out, watch this. Watch how it shows up in your life and what did happen in your life. And then you'll know, oh my God, I'm visualizing the axe. The axe is going to destroy all negativity, both within me, about my situation that I was born into and have all these qualities, that I have to handle according to the planets or past lives or this life or future lives. So this, without having to think about all that, that's just too overwhelming. So I'm just going to call in this Ganesha with the image of the axe. The axe is a divine tool. It's divine technology. It's kind of like Thor. You know, if you ever watch that movie Thor with that hunky guy Hemsworth, I think his name is. You know, he throws that mallet thing out and it comes back to him. It goes and destroys the negative force and then comes back in his hand. And no one else can pull this thing out of the ground once it's, you know, out of his hand. Only he has the abilities. So it's like Ganesha. He has the ability with his axe to chop up everything that is, you know, going to destroy your life. And that anything can be lethargy. It can be negative thoughts about yourself. It can be, oh, well, I have, you know, this in my life, and that's, like, so hard for me. It can destroy all that and say, hey, I know how to do this. I can handle this. I am built for this. I have experienced it. And I have to tap into that and utilize these God-given gifts. So it will, imagining the image of the axe, it will be like the Ganesha in you, that Kundalini energy in you, whipping it out there and just slicing and dicing any negative thoughts or any vibrations that are coming towards you, that seen or unseen, knowing or unknowing, that they're there, is it will just dispel it. And it's almost, you think of the word dispel, it takes you out of a spell. It disrespects that spell. It just will destroy that spell, you know, that stuckness that it has, that stuck energy that it has, keeps you under a spell, that you are this or that, debilitated, stuck, challenged, obstacle. It will take it, destroy it, and free you. So that axe does it. And however you imagine it, if it's chopping everything up, fine. If it's just, you know, its presence there and just, you know, makes it disappear, or just the image of it, nothing's going to come near you. Like you wouldn't go and jump a cop walking down the street because you're like, ooh, that's an officer in uniform. You know, I'm not going to go poke the bear, right?
you just know there's a respect there. So you will be walking down the street having that image of the axe in your third eye, or you can imagine Ganesha there. You have a little Ganesha and he has an axe. Even if you have a Ganesha and he doesn't have an axe, just imagine that at this point in time, because Dr. Ply is giving us this image of the axe, then you can keep that in your consciousness. And then you know, okay, Ganesha, I got you my... Because a lot of us carry little Ganeshas in our hands, or we have pictures of Ganeshas, or little statues of Ganeshas. And we, tune into Ganesha, because every day is a battle out there. So, you know, Ganesha is very happy and all the rest, but then he's also going to destroy a lot of forces that are causing the Kundalini within us to go sideways. And particularly this axe type Ganesha, as Dr. Fly mentioned in the webcast, is going to destroy the lust, you know, like sexual lust that gets blown out. You know, it just takes over us. And so that's a misuse of the Kundalini energy, meaning that, you know, your life is going along and you're raising the energy and you're going after things that you want to manifest, and you're doing those things, and all of a sudden, you go too wild on, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll or whatever. You immerse yourself, too much energy is going into other, outside, getting that satisfied. You know, that aspect of ourself satisfied to the point of it can't be. But you keep going after it. That's how we drain our energy. And then we're so drained that, the rest of life, what just happened there? So that this type of Ganesha will control that kind of sexual energy that is going to take you lusting after things or people or experiences that are not going to contribute to the creativity, because there's the sexual and then there's the creative energy at that same chakra, right? So Ganesha with the axe says, yeah, go out, have a date and everything, and go and do what you got to do, because we're all biological here on the earth plane. We have our needs, but don't go too wild. Just keep Ganesha in check and feel that energy. Is it moving up again? Is it coming up to the third eye so I can bring that Kundalini energy to manifest? Continue to manifest, not just a one time. If you're continuing to manifest it, have that energy to manifest. So he will, this particular axe, Ganesha with the axe, is going to do that, keep it under control, and then chop away anything that is going to prevent you from, you know, once you're satisfied with that biological need, then you just get back to business. Not that you're a robot and you shut it off, but you just have it in perspective. Be very practical in your life. And Ganesha with the axe will make sure that that demon doesn't take over and make you to lust after things or people that are going to deplete you energetically. And then what happens? There's no creativity. Or the creativity is gone. The desire to create is gone. And then you go, whoa, what happened? How come I got fired from my job? Or how come this happened or that happened, right? You ignored it. And you just got lost in lust land. So watch the video. Go through the meditation. We did the same meditation today, but you watch it with Dr. Ply. It takes you into a whole new understanding of it. And then if you want to, you can take the program in a couple months from now. So I think that's it for what I wanted to share about this week. And thanks so much, Radha, for giving your insights and doing in real time a consultation that was very helpful for Indrani, and thanks, Indrani, for asking those questions, because it's always helpful for all of us to hear how, just knowing a little bit about our own charts, how we can navigate. And so having an astrology consultation is really a great way to do that. And I believe Radha is going to give out 15-minute consultations, just focusing on very small, very short areas of the life. It would be a short but very precise focus in on the areas of the life that are impacting. And then if you want to go on and do further live astrology consultation, that's fine. But for this 15-minute one, Radha is going to give you insights. But then it's also to promote giving towards, because we are getting so much, we want to give back. So we want to help out the kids in Tripura Foundation who are, needing to have the intelligence, the hope centers, the hope and intelligence that they can come out of their way more challenging than any of us have situations in life. And to come out of those situations with more intelligence and grace. And the grace is really what we all go for. We can have intelligence, but if we don't have grace, we'll just, we always mess up. So these kids really need our support, and the Hope Centers are requiring that now. So any donation is going to be given with this 15-minute consultation that Rod is going to be doing. So hopefully, if you're interested in that, you can send in an email to sundayswithsucharitaapplycenter.com or sucharitaapplycenter.com. I'll forward it to Rod, and then she'll follow up with you directly. So that might be a way to get a little taste tester of what a live astrology consultation is, and you're familiar with Radha, so maybe you'll be okay to do that and then move forward from there. So have a happy Father's Day, everyone. Wherever your father is, whatever he's been to you or not been to you, that is irrelevant, because the Father is the one who has given you life, and we should just be putting everything aside and saying, thank you for this life, because look where I am now. And look who I am now. And then look who I'm going to be as the day rolls out, the week, the month, the year, and so on. So God bless you for bringing me into this world. And then also think of our spiritual mentors or father figures, maybe work in the workplace or in the family or in friends, that we have had fatherly figures. And God bless them as well. Or if you know any fathers, or if you are a father, God bless you. So have a fabulous day and week ahead, and we will see you next time. Thanks again, and God bless. Bye-bye.